Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Inner West Planning Panel meeting this afternoon. We've got a number of items before us, so I seek your cooperation in dealing with those. But before I start, can I acknowledge the Gadigal and Wangal people of the Eora Nation, whose country we are meeting on today? We acknowledge and respect elders past and present. I can say to you that individual panel members have inspected the site or sites us, have read the agenda, have had a very detailed briefing from council officers. We've been blessed with receiving some very clear reports and a number of recommendations. I'm sure you would have read those relate to your item. I've also had an acknowledgement from the panel that they have no declarations of interest or no interest to declare. What I will do is introduce the panel to you. Firstly, I'm chairman for today. My name's Gary Shields. I'm a planner of some many years. I have a few master's degrees in planning and a PhD. For my sins, I've been a consultant planner and I've worked in local government. I've also done some time, so to speak, in the Land and Environment Court. My current roles include chairing a number of planning panels. This is one. Can I introduce you to Vanessa, if you turn? Vanessa, one of our panelists.
Hi, everybody. My name is Vanessa Holtham. I've got a background in heritage, architecture, and planning. I've got a background in local government and in private sector, and I'm currently on the New South Wales Heritage Council.
Thank you, Vanessa. Sylvia.
Hi, I'm Sylvia Crayer. I'm the community representative on the panel today. I have lived in the Inner West my life, so I'm well familiar with the area. I have a background in planning and I work for the City of Sydney Council in the Design Excellence team overseeing architectural design competitions.
Thank you, Sylvia. And Marjorie.
Marjorie Ferguson.
Okay.
I'm
Okay, so there was an
a
era.
town planner with a background in local government, state government, and as a planning consultant. And recently I've been sitting on panels, including regional panels and local planning panels.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that we're hearing from today, would you be kind enough to go on mute until we call you? And then when we do call you, we look forward to hearing what you have to say. We've got a number of people addressing the panel today, and I'd ask you firstly to be respectful to everyone, to limit your presentation to 3 minutes, and we will look forward to hearing from you. At the conclusion of hearing from all speakers, we'll go into a closed session where we will consider what you've presented to us, together with all of the other information and the written material submitted, and make our determination on the 10 items before us. The determinations will be printed on the council website in the next 24, 48 hours. Having said that, I will start with the first presenter for item three, and it's Sago Design. I'm sure that's not your name. Is there a representative from Sago Design, or is that your name?
Yes. Hi. No, it's not my name, but my name's Aisha, so I can
Could you
speak to that
introduce
project.
yourself? Would you introduce yourself to the panel, please, and keep your
Sure.
address as brief as possible?
My name's Aisha, so I'm the architect working on the project.
And last name, please.
Gaunt.
Thank you.
So Just to be brief, the project is a terrace house in Enmore, and the clients are seeking to add an additional bedroom by infilling an existing attic space. And the reason we're at the panel is a technical non-compliance with FSR because we're infilling the attic space. The implication, though, I feel is quite minor to the public domain. We're proposing a dormer that's not particularly visible from the public domain at all, doesn't provide any additional overshadowing or privacy impacts to neighbours.
Can I just pause you there? You wouldn't like to show yourself, would you?
Oh, yeah, let me give it a go.
Just turn the video on.
There we go.
There we are, a real person. Thank you. Continue, so, thank you.
So that is one part of the design, the non-compliance with FSR. The other issue that I believe needs to be addressed is we're proposing a kind of a storage space above an existing carport fronting the laneway. And the reason for this is to provide additional storage space, given that we are removing the storage space in the existing attic. I believe the council has had, or the heritage team have had, an issue with the asymmetrical roof form and would prefer it to be symmetrical. And just to talk to that, our reason for the asymmetrical roof is to provide better access up into that roof cavity when the car is parked, so you can park to one side and then have a ladder down from the other side. And given it's a bit of a mixed laneway with different types of roof forms, we thought it might be appropriate to have the asymmetrical roof. The terrace is in a conservation area, though the terraces are a recent development in the 2000s, so it doesn't have any heritage merit to the building itself. And the other reason for the asymmetrical reform was just to limit overshadowing to the neighbour and putting the highest point of the ridge furthest, you know, to the north, so we're not overshadowing the neighbour as much. And that probably addresses the key parts to the proposal.
Okay. Thank you for that. Panel, do you have any questions of the architect?
Yeah.
Was that a yes?
I don't have any questions.
No, thank you. Thank you for your presentation. We'll make a determination shortly.
Thank you.
Item 6 is the next speaker we have, Andrew Meeser. Andrew, are you there, please?
Yes, I am. It's Andrew Meyer. Thank you.
Thank you.
Have I got my video on now?
I've got half your head, but
all right. I'll try and adjust. Is that better?
No, that's worse.
Oh, the worst one.
well, that's more anyway. Yeah. Thank you.
Okay, thanks.
That is better. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Would you like to address the panel?
Yeah, look, I'll try and keep it brief. Good afternoon to all. I'm the owner applicant, but I'm a retired architect. You have the SEE, and that's the detailed case and technical evaluation. I don't need to trawl through that, but I thought it useful just to dial back a bit and focus on what we're trying to achieve and why. Our core submission is a 1.2 meter back extension, just to align the rear wall with the original built line of what was a toilet or laundry outbuilding. And as I point out in the SEE, number 556 still has it, but it was demolished as a part of an earlier renovation. The reasoning why we're looking to do this is because the origins of this building is actually retail, being on Darling Street. So it's actually quite generous in terms of scale and proportion, and the rooms in the front are quite reasonably sized. But it's a four-bedroom house, and as a family home, the narrow annex at the back is really tight to provide dining beyond an internal toilet and kitchen. So really, just moving that wall line by about a meter gives us the opportunity to get a viable dining area and kitchen while staying within the original built line that better serves a larger family house. So we see it as a beneficial upgrade, and it also gives us a brighter living space with outlook and direct connection to the garden, which it gets pretty dark, as you probably understand, in the winter in a terrace. We put forward the case. I think it's all there to read. We don't see material impacts to privacy, amenity, or solar access for neighbours. And of course, we followed the style, architectural style of the annex by just extending a skillion roof. Keeping to the built line, also compared to a lot of the properties along Wisbeach Lane, which you'll see in the BLZ analysis I did, this is one of a group that has actually kept the backyard quite carefully. And we want to keep it, and it's got a landscape buffer, so it's still a good size for use for dining as we use it now. Technical breaches are on the FSR and site coverage, but these are yardsticks, and as you appreciate, they necessarily serve a wide diversity of types and conditions. Terrace format and a commercial pass puts us just outside these two, but we argue these are statistical breaches if the inner urban context was accepted. The FSL up, there was an uplift to FSR in granted next door in 2009, right up to 1.5 to 1, and that kind of tacitly acknowledges what we're arguing. Anyway, overall, we see that as a beneficial upgrade to better balance the living spaces that would support a what should be a family home, and that the public interest is not really undermined in what we're proposing. Separately, we've looked at the Darling Street frontage. I think Vanessa may have some comments or discussion. This we understand, if you look at the photos, the current ground floor window is clearly an intervention, and it's not a very nice one. With no clear records that we could get from state and council libraries, the intervention is really characteristically unsympathetic conversion in a post-war period where the history was not particularly valued.
Excuse me, Chair, that's 3 minutes.
Yes. Oh, okay. So look, we've had a slight issue that we've not really got any apparent interest for heritage unless a consultant is engaged. We don't see that as warranted. 552 and 554 are not heritage items. History is dynamic and there's a change use as established fact. All we had hoped to do was have a discussion to review this window in favor of a double hung sash period with period detail and better proportion as an improvement both to consistency and street presentation. We're still happy to have that discussion, but I've asked Christian, who I give a nod for his help, thank you, to basically move the DA forward to determination, if necessary, to put a conditional rejection on this aspect of the determination. We don't agree with it, but we just need to move forward with the core element of our submission, which is really to get the back extension. Thank you for the chance to speak, and happy to field any questions.
Thank you, Andrew. Any questions of Andrew? Panel, Vanessa, Marjorie, Sylvia.
I just have one question. Thanks, Chair. In relation to the front window, I did note that you had said that you couldn't find any historical resources. It looks like it does match. Whatever's happened is exactly the same as the one next door. So I would urge you to move forward and try and look a little bit more carefully. I don't know whether you've been in touch. Council used to have really good historical resources and an archivist on hand. I don't know whether they're able to assist or whether there's just nothing available.
No. If I can touch on this, look, I'm prepared to accept.
Just briefly, Andrew, thank you.
Sorry?
Just briefly, please.
Yep. look, we have checked with state and council libraries, and they have no records. They couldn't respond to us. Next door was built at the same time. So when that conversion from retail to residential was done, the developer would have matched the windows. We have actually already proposed that if we were granted and under heritage lead, to change to double hung sash windows, we're happy that the condition would be that the owner next door would have to apply the same window to keep the houses as a handed pair.
That's Andrew, yeah. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. Andrew, as I understand it, the council was concerned about the facade. Is that correct?
Yes. Well,
double barrel question. And you subsequently agreed to delete that element from the application.
Well, yeah. In the application, I want it denied because I don't agree. But I mean, obviously, I need to accept that the back extension is our priority, and we just seem to be in a dead end with heritage. Well, so,
if the panel were to accept the report, which is before it today, which no doubt you've read, that would give you any opportunity to, or numerous opportunities to take that issue forward.
Sure. Okay. I understand. I just wanted, we're happy to get heritage state lead. I just think anyone who sees that window, anyone, whether they're architect or layperson, knows
Thank you, sir. We're just going to keep moving here. Appreciate your submission.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The next gentleman that I have presenting to us is Harry Greenwood, and that's on item 9. Harry, are you there?
Yes. Hello, I'm here.
Hello, Harry. Harry, will you just identify yourself for the record and make your presentation to the panel? Thank you.
My name is Harry Greenwood. I am a resident of Unit 4 at 16 Dalmar Street, beside the proposed development at 18 to 22 Dalmar. I'm speaking to you on behalf of the residents of the entire building in which we live as the secretary of that building. Just wanted to note that we don't have the means to employ people to dissect the DA in question. We have instead relied upon family members and our own analysis. We have some issues that we would like considered by the panel. Firstly, with regards to the geotechnical report provided as part of the DA, the questions are as follows. Could we have an explanation of the geotechnical concerns that are outlined in the report in plain language from the developer? The geotech report indicates a need for a dilapidation report on number 16 and regular inspections of the works as they progress. And as a condition of consent, we ask that these reports are sent to me, Harry Greenwood, the chairperson of the company, as received by the developer. Is it also possible that damage to number 16 from foundation movement could occur after the works at number 18 to 22 are completed, i.e. over time? Is there a statute of limitations on any potential claims? If damage to number 16 becomes apparent during construction of the car park proposed, we ask that as a condition of consent, any repairs at number 16 are completed within 90 days of completion of car park works. We are very concerned also about the asbestos garage, not fibro as categorised in the DA plans, that sits 500 millimetres from the boundary at the southwest corner of our lot. As a condition of consent, the developer should be responsible not only for repairs, but for removal and storage costs of its contents during any necessary repairs. In the report, it states that, quote, if required, we could be commissioned to review the geotechnical aspects of contract documents to confirm the intent of our recommendations has been correctly implemented. We request that this be made a condition of consent and not if required. Similarly, the report states that the proposed site is classified as a problem, the technical term for it, unless the foundation design is followed, in which it could be classed as moderately reactive. Similarly, we request that as a condition of consent, the geotechnical assessor be re-engaged to inspect initial compliance throughout construction. Secondly, we are concerned about the aesthetic appeal of the proposed ramp and eastern wall of the proposed addition and request that council ask the applicant to amend their plans to try to increase the aesthetic appeal in keeping with the heritage features of the original deco style building. An amendment to further increase vegetation such as hanging plants or creepers would go a long way to beautifying and improving the proposed structure. Our third point, contrary to council's assertion on pages 490 and 491 of their development assessment report, that there will be no increase to overshadowing at number 16. We assert that based on the DA's own solar models, our solar access at the winter solstice will be significantly decreased from the current 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. along our western wall to 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. and for unit 4 and 11 to 1 p.m. for unit 2.
Excuse me, Chair, that's 3 minutes.
Again, we're not experts.
Harry, can you just wind up there, please?
I do have a couple more points that I need to get through.
If you can be very brief, I'll allow you to. But yeah. Very brief, please.
Yeah. We also have a point with regards to the traffic and parking assessment proposed by Terrific PTY LTD. We would like to note, council to note that the survey in which its findings are based is from 2021 at the height of the COVID-19 induced work from home boom And as such, the findings are skewed in their assessment that the 5 proposed car spaces will satisfy the demand for residents that will potentially drive to work. We question the usefulness of this report and the accuracy of its recommendations. The DA proposes an increase of car spaces from 4 to 5. And we question whether the significant excavation of the proposed basement is worth the increase of a single car space. Could the applicant not simply maintain the existing ground floor car park and build 2 additional units above as opposed to the proposed 3? We, as the residents of 16 Dalmar, would be more amenable to such a proposal.
Thank you, Harry. Just a couple of responses to your requests. Firstly, we can't require the developer to provide you with information. We will give consideration to your request for a condition of consent that addresses those items that you mentioned, which include the ramp, which include the geotech. The traffic report is the traffic report. That's the one that we have before us, and the council have assessed that report. And I should also advise you that if there's not, we will ensure, if the application's approved, that a dilapidation report is prepared before and after any works that are to be carried out on the site. That's a standard requirement of the council to ensure that adjoining properties, any damage thereto, is minimised during and after construction. Anyone have any questions of Harry on the panel?
Yes, I did, if I may.
Sylvia, thank you.
Harry, you mentioned that you had concerns about the aesthetics of the proposal. You mentioned the ramp, but did you have any more specific things that you wanted to address? Re-aesthetics, because that's quite a broad general term.
Of course, yeah. Well, I mean, essentially, the council's assessment says that there will be no obstruction from our property, but that is absolutely not the case. We will lose our entire aspect, one of the main reasons we bought the property in the first place. So we'll be looking at a wall, and we just ask that be kind of considered as part of the design features aesthetically, that it could be made nicer as opposed to just being a completely blank wall.
Okay.
And to match the depo features of the existing structure, because it's quite out of keeping.
Just to respond to that, yeah. I don't know if you read the report. It did go, and I don't know. So the report notes that it was presented to Council's Architectural Excellence Design Review Panel, and they had a number of recommendations, yes. And the plans were then subsequently amended.
Yes.
I'm not sure that whether they were notified or not, so whether you've actually seen... Oh, you have, because it's attached to this. Excuse me, sorry. Yes. Just a momentary lapse.
Yeah, that's okay.
But then I just wanted to reassure you about the dilapidation report. There is a condition already in the consent, condition number 14, that requires a dilapidation report to be sent to adjoining neighbours.
Yes. Yes, I understand that. We just do have concerns about the asbestos garage that sits on our boundary, and we do note that the proposed car park is building right up to the boundary and right underneath, and the asbestos garage is right on the boundary. So we do have significant concern about how that will be undertaken, and especially as there is a point noted in the report that sorry, if you can give me 1 second. It says where required anchors or internal props can also be considered. Where anchors are used and they extend into the adjoining property, it will be necessary to obtain permission of the property owners. I just wanted to question what that actually means. Does that mean we can refuse access? I'm a bit confused.
I think that's correct, but that's my understanding.
Okay. So we could refuse access if they need to access our property.
I believe that's correct. There are circumstances when they can seek approval through the court,
yes,
for that access, where it becomes critical for the development.
Yeah.
But prima facie, what you say is correct.
Okay.
All right. No other questions of Harry?
I just had one question, Gary, for Harry.
Yeah.
Harry, just really quickly, which solar access diagram were you specifically talking about? We're mainly concerned about which time of the day. You went through them really quickly.
We've got the diagrams that are included are the applicant's own diagrams, and we just question whether or not they're actually accurate according based on our own experiences of living here. I think that they are not accurate.
Okay, so it was a general comment. It wasn't one specific you were concerned about.
I was specifically concerned about it. We have photographic evidence of what the front unit experiences with regards to solar access from the existing building next door, and so we will experience a similar blockage of light with this DA goes ahead from the proposed structure.
Okay.
We did attach photos to our objection notice, and I don't know if you have access to those.
We've read all the material that's been presented to us.
Okay.
Thanks, Harry.
No other questions. Thank you, Harry. We'll consider your comments and everyone else's comments at the conclusion of the various presentations. So thank you for that. The next person on this same item that I have is Dudy Herman.
Yes, I'm here.
Dudy, can I just ask whether, sorry, before you speak, can we see the whites of your eyes?
I just clicked on share screen and nothing happened.
I see. Okay. Can I ask whether you're written here in my running sheet as being a supporter?
That's right.
You're with the applicant or you're...
Yes, indeed. Harry is my son-in-law and my daughter, and Harry own unit number 4.
Just before you go on, can I just say you're a supporter in this application? I have Roberto Bianca and Sam Tadros, the three of you presenting on this item, is that correct? Or seeking to?
Are you
in the same room or are you all separate?
No, we're all separate.
Okay. That makes life difficult. All right. Why don't we hear from you first?
She doesn't know those people. They're not a group of people that she knows, those people you just mentioned.
Yeah, I don't know who they are.
Okay. Chair, I don't think Dudy Herman is with the applicant, if that's what you're
That's fine. Thanks, Sylvia.
Okay, look, I'm really sorry.
All right, Dudy. Can you say what you want to say?
Yes.
Introduce yourself for the record.
Okay. My name is Dudy Herman. I'm the mother and mother-in-law of the owners of unit number 4 in 16 Dalmar Avenue. I had a garden design business for 10 years and I worked with the strategic planners in council between 2000 and 2003. Developing suburb profiles, DCPs, and the LEP. So I have some concerns about the design. First of all, the streetscape, the two buildings are kind of twin buildings, twin Art Deco buildings, original inside and outside. They're on the plans, it looks as though they're going to design a new wall and a gate and new letterboxes. We would request as a condition of consent that the wall retains the low built form of the existing wall, that there's no gate put across the driveway to match the building next door at number 16, which has an open driveway. And that's one of the great features of these two buildings is the kind of open streetscape front yards that they have. So we would like that to be a condition of consent that the walls are Art Deco in style and no gate, and that the letterboxes that are installed are sympathetic to the existing architecture. Harry's already covered the ramp. There's a new fence to be built along a retaining wall fence along where the ramp goes in, but there's no indication as to what happens to the remaining fencing. We'd like to make as a condition of consent, even though I...
Are you there? We've just lost you, Dudy. Hello?
To the residents of number 16 about the intentions of the rest of the fencing, it's going to be made of, if it's actually going to be demolished.
Can you cut out for a bit.
Oh, okay. Okay, sorry. I'm afraid
we lost you for about 30 seconds.
Okay, I'm sorry. Have you got me back?
I've got you back now.
Okay.
Can you rerun the last 30 seconds?
Gosh, I'm going to try to. The fence. So there's indication on plan that there's a new fence to be built, a retaining wall type fence to be built where the new ramp begins and ends. But there's no, there's nothing on plan about the developer's intention for the remaining fencing. So we would ask, as a condition of consent, that the developer speaks to the residents at 16 Dalmar Street to say what his intention is about the rest of the fencing. We also have concerns about the side garden bed, which is actually 1,400 millimetres wide. I made a mistake in my submission. Along that garden bed, which is on the eastern boundary of number 18, planted quite substantial shrubs and fruit trees. And the garden is actually completely inundated all along that that boundary in heavy rain. What we're very concerned about is, number one, that when the fencing is replaced, that any mature shrubs and trees, there's, for example, a 4 metre high and wide camellia, which provides considerable amenity to the people at number 16 Dalmar Street. That's planted almost on the boundary. Excavation into that garden, that boundary to create the retaining wall, may well go through the root ball of that camellia. So if that happens, we would like the developer to replace with a like species up to 3 metres. We also ask that the developer pays for the removal of anything in that garden bed that can be moved, and that the trunks of the species that can't be moved are protected, because the fence will be coming down on a significant portion of that garden bed.
Excuse me, Chair, that's 3 minutes.
Okay. Also along that garden bed, the runoff from the building works is going to be quite significant and will include toxic waste. So we ask that a silt fence is installed right along that boundary. And I have included an addendum of the kind of design that should be. There are lots of ways of doing silt fences. This is the one that's recommended for this particular situation where the land drops. There's a 1 metre drop from the western boundary of number 18 to the eastern boundary of number 16. Between the two western boundaries, there's actually a 1 metre drop. Yeah, those are all conditions of consent which are in my submission. We also have been in touch with the a senior heritage officer at council to request that these two buildings are assessed for their heritage value, and request that the DA is put in abeyance until council has done that investigation.
Okay, Judy, thank you. Can I just clarify something?
Yes.
You're listed here as a supporter.
Yes.
Are you properly listed as a supporter, or are you an objector?
Does a supporter mean I support the DA? No,
yes.
I'm an objector.
Right, okay.
So this whole thing has just been misunderstood?
Not at all.
Okay.
We've heard every word you've said.
Okay.
I'm just changing your heading that describes you in the documentation.
Yeah. Sorry, I thought I was supporting the objections.
I thought you were supporting the application,
yes,
subject to conditions.
Right.
But you're opposing the whole application.
Correct. And
but
asking
if it were to be approved,
correct,
they're the sorts of things you'd like addressed. Is
conditions
that
of consent. That's correct. Absolutely correct.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Thank you for your presentation. Can I move then to Roberto Bianco, please? Who is it? A town planner? Are you there, sir?
Yep. Yes, I am here.
Can you introduce yourself for the record and restrict your comments to 3 minutes? Thank you.
Yes, no worries. My name is Roberto. I am the town planner for the project, alongside the applicant, Sam Tadros, who is the architect. He is also with us today. Our main goal today to just address the panel is just to answer any questions the panel may have, just provide some any clarification they may have regarding the proposal. I've reviewed the assessing officer's report. I agree with his recommendations and I agree with the conditions of consent that have been imposed. As I'm not sure if the panel is aware, but just a bit of a history with the site, we initially had an application.
Hello. Hello. Is everyone else in hold mode as well? Or is it just me?
No, I can't see him either.
Hello, we've got
or hear him.
Duty back. I've lost you, sir. Roberto, you've dropped out totally now. Firstly, I lost your sound and now I've lost your visual.
Can I just ask if there were any questions for Duty?
Sorry, Harry, can you just stay in the background? I'm having problems here. Roberto Bianco, are you there, sir? What about Sam Tadros? Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Sam, can I hear from you? Is your town planner somewhere near you?
No, we're at a different location.
Right. Well, that's something you've learned for the future. You should both be in the same room.
Sorry about that.
Sam, can you please introduce yourself and address the panel?
Yep. My name is Sam Tadros. I'm the architect for the project. And it's basically, I have designed the building. I've been working with Roberto and the council.
Can you just push your screen up a little bit? That's better. Thank you.
Sorry, I can't see myself. Sorry. Is this better?
That's better. Thank you.
Yep. So I've been working with Roberto and the council in this development since we started. So a bit of the history of that, we have started that development about 3 years ago, where previously we had another DA, which we lodged with the council. And it raised some concern at the time from the adjoining neighbors and the planners and all the thing there, and the panel as well. And we have withdrawn, as recommended by council, they asked us to withdraw that application and basically reconsider the application. And we have went back on the drawing board and amended the application, addressing all the comments and everything is raised in there. And we did a pre-DA with the council staff, the planners, which they advise us and guide us with the changes, what we need to do, which we have incorporated that and we modified that. We have lodged the DA based on that, and we have went to the planning excellent panel. And they have comment about the development, and they come with some concern and some issues to be addressed. And the planner from the council have issued us all the objection coming from all the adjoining neighbors to consider as well, which we have addressed all that in one final amendment, which we addressed all that. Part of that, which is coming about the consideration about the basement and the methodology, how we're going to build that basement, which we went in the DS stage, we have engaged in a structure engineer and the geotech report to be done. They both come up with the design of how to propose the construction and the excavation of that basement, which that's basically to address some of the objective concern, plus the additional condition which have been both in the DA with the deliberation report and the making sure everything's which is not impacting in the adjoining neighbors. So, and a lot of the solar axis which raised in the first scheme have been addressed in the revised drawing. And the council was very careful about the loss of amenity of the adjoining, which we worked very close with the council staff and the excellent panel, the panel. To address all this and to make sure, basically, to come up with a good outcome. Currently, the back, it's all concrete. It's a big concrete platform. The proposal will going to enhance a lot of more landscaping and the more integrating area and the more characterized to provide amenities to the building, which currently doesn't have nothing. So we have considered that, and we are aware of the existing building has not been altered or amended in any way. So really the concern about the statics of the two buildings in the front has not been changed, because the addition has been replaced in the back with a separate link, which the panel was very concerned about how we integrate the two buildings together with the link, and we maintain the proposed building to be lower than the existing building to maintain the aesthetics and the looks from the streetscape. So we have worked on all that and addressed all that very closely with all council staff, and I am in the support of the council recommendation with the conditions. So I have read them, I've been through them, and I'm happy to with what the council planners have been proposed.
I'm sure there'll be a few questions from the panel, but maybe I'll start them off. You mentioned about the geotech report. Are you aware of any asbestos in the immediate area?
No asbestos in our site. I think the asbestos you're talking about, it's the asbestos in the on site, which is the, okay. The right. Adjoining garage.
Thank you. The magnolia tree, which one of the neighbours mentioned they would like to retain, and if it's not retained, replaced.
Camellia.
Oh, camellia. Sorry.
The council arborist or landscape has not been mentioned anything about any significant in any trees. Yeah. However, if this is something to be something attached okay. to the table next door, we're happy to consider that.
I'm just going through their comments.
Sure.
I'm not judging them. I'm just making observations about the ramp as seen by a couple of objectors as being lacking in appearance or lacking in meritorious appearance.
Currently, we have a driveway 4 meter wide between the fence and the building, fully yeah. concrete, and is not changing any appearance of that, because all it does, actually, you okay. are looking at the whole concrete platform all the way to the rear boundary, but it's going to be enhancing because the ramp will stop with the end of the existing building. So you will end up with a better look instead of having to see all the concrete from the streetscape all the way to the rear boundary.
One of the residents suggested additional landscaping. Is there potential for that?
We provided as much landscaping gap, so we do have
In the vicinity of the ramp.
We have a small portion, but we do have an elevated garden above the ramp. So we'll have a cascading garden from the top down to the ramp.
Okay, thank you. Panel, anyone have any questions?
I've got a question, Gary.
Thank you, Vanessa.
It was a comment that's been raised, but I had also raised it myself. Whether you'd be amenable to adjusting perhaps some of the colours and finishes. At the moment, you've got a virtually a black and white box at the back, a black monument roof with monument features and white walls, and whether you would be amenable to perhaps including some browns, reds, or any earthier tones to soften that?
I'm happy like to consider the roof, it can be going to grey instead of the monument, and that will soften up. It's a big part of that. Is that what you're concerned about?
My phone actually rang and it went off screen when I said grey. I didn't mean to say grey, I meant to say browns and not greys.
Yeah, okay. So I'm happy to consider the roof. We can change it like to grey or shell grey or one of this lighter colour, which a big portion of the building. And the building have a lot of articulation to the facade. So the dark colour of the monument was only presented to the trims, like the handrails, the downpipe, and the building. So
I think at the moment, the building at the back is white with black and a black roof. Whether you look at brown, reds, and earthy tones, maybe.
I'm a bit concerned to actually. I like the building in the front, the existing building, which is combination of the terracotta roof and the brick. And I try to make the back to complement that, not by copying that, because by trying to copy these colors, it would never match. And it would always look like competing with the front.
I don't think it's about copying. I think it's about responding a little bit more. And based on what the objectives have said, perhaps maybe that's something that could be considered. But
I'm happy to consider, we're happy to consider different, if it's going to be a condition, we're happy to consider some different shades of tones of lighter color than the white and the black. That's fine. There is a lot of element and Bell will consider that. That's fine.
Thank you, Sam. Any other questions from the panel?
Yes, Chair.
Sylvia, thank you.
Yeah, Sorry, hi. If you can just confirm, Sam, so there's no works proposed to the front to the existing building.
There is the fence exactly in the same location. Yeah. Basically, all we're trying to do, we're trying to make the building is more secure. So it's like any other new development, we're trying to have a low fence. It's still a low fence, but not as low as what we got there. And there is a sliding gate and the funder and the pedestrian access.
So for the purposes of constructing the rear addition, if it were to be approved, the current opening that you have, that driveway opening, is sufficient for construction vehicles?
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess the point that I'm trying to make is you have an Art Deco building, and I acknowledge that it's not heritage listed, but it certainly has some historic and aesthetic significance. And the existing front fence ties in with that. It was constructed at the same time. It's part of, I guess, the building. So I acknowledge that the gate would increase the security of the site, but in terms of the net increase in height that you get from the existing fence to the proposed fence, looking at the elevation, it doesn't seem like it's quite significant. So I guess my question is, would you consider retaining the front fence?
I'm happy to consider retaining the front fence. Can I install metal fence behind it and tie up with the gate? Like, I don't touch the front fence, but maybe to get to add this bit of security, because the ground floor units, they're right on the natural ground level, especially we were proposing a communal space in the front. So we're trying to give it some sort of a bit of decent usable area.
Privacy.
What's the height of the front fence at its highest point? So where it abuts the new gate?
Sorry, what's behind?
What's the height?
The proposed fence? The proposed fence is 1 meter.
1 meter.
Yeah.
The question. The question was, what's the height of the existing fence?
I think it's about 700 at the moment.
700, and your proposed fence is 1 meter.
About 1 meter.
Okay.
Okay.
Look at the option? Sorry, Sylvia, I didn't mean to cut you off. Look at the option of some landscaping behind the fence to pick up the privacy issue for that communal area?
We do have the landscape is already done, and the landscape is going in hands, all hedges and all around that area.
And that wouldn't achieve what you
will achieve. We'll achieve. Or something. Yep.
All right. Any other questions, panel?
No, the others have covered it well.
I think you better send a runner out to look for your architect. Your planner. Sorry, Sam. he's gone missing. Because we're going to have to move on to our next item.
Sure.
Thank you for your submission.
Thank you.
The next item I've got is Andrew Martin, and it's on item 10. And it's on behalf of the applicant. Are you there, Andrew?
Yes, I am, Chair. I'll just thank you. I will... should start my video.
Video, right, okay. I see. You mean just put your face on the screen. Thank you.
Oh, well, you wanted to see the colour.
I do. I love to see the colour of people's eyes.
Yeah, so mine are just boring brown, mouse brown.
Nothing wrong with that, so am I. Can I have you address the panel and give your presentation in 3 minutes if you'd be so kind?
I can do. Thank you. My name is Andrew Martin. I'm a town planner. I'm representing the applicant on this matter. Generally agree with the recommendation that's before you to approve the application. As the case is always, there are conditions of consent. I don't want to bore you with these. They're not fatal, but we really would like the panel just to have a quick look at those before they consent to this application. You would have been sent a letter from Habitation Architects outlining the conditions that we wish to discuss. There is one change to that list, but I'll get to that in a second. The first of the list in terms of the conditions is condition number 21. That condition number 21 requires the applicant to lodge and prepare and have approved the Roads Act application prior to the issue of a construction certificate. We're asking the panel to consider whether it's prudent and appropriate for that condition to change the wording to prior to the commencement of work on the site. And the purpose of that is, obviously, with the extent of the requirements of that condition and liaising with other authorities and documentation, lodging it, that takes months and months to get that Roads Act approval from council. So what we're asking, can the work start on site? And that allows for peering, site establishment, demolition, and things of that nature to get this development moving and get some housing for the community. So condition 21, just to reiterate, we wish to insert the words prior to works commencing on site, as opposed to prior to the issue of a construction certificate. I'll move on to condition 21C, as articulated in the habitation letter dated 13/3/24. We ask that condition 21C and little c, that be deleted from that list of requirements to comply with. That issue of the left in, left out, and those works are covered appropriately, we would say, under consent DA that we've listed there, DA 10/2012.269 is an adjoining development across the lane that was required, my client says, to construct those works. And that matter has been, I think, investigated by Kelly Teresiano of Inner West Council, and requiring that development to do that work. So another condition that doubles up on that is superfluous, we say, and the panel hopefully will agree with the deletion of 21C. Moving right along to condition the third in the list of that habitation letter, 13/3/24, that was put on the portal. It refers to condition 22E. Now, we do not wish to alter 22E at all, so you can disregard that request. What we would like to alter and modify is 22C for Charlie, so condition 22C. That condition talks about head heights. Now, in relation to the head height of the basement, the head height does have a knock-on effect, as you appreciate. So that condition manifested from a drawing or a section drawing that was incorrect, and council appropriately identified that as a condition because the...
Excuse me, Chair, that's 3 minutes.
Oh, okay. I'll be 1 minute.
I'll give you 30 seconds.
Oh, yeah. We've been waiting patiently for all these other guys to speak.
Okay.
Anyway, right. So I'll move
as quick as you can.
Yes, thank you, Chair. Basically, we say that section can be complied with, but instead of a requirement of 2.4 for the ramp, we're asking for a condition that says 2.3. We can redesign it to comply with 2.3. The Australian standard, we say, is 2.2, and that comes under AS 2890.6/2004. So we're saying that the standard requires 2.2 clearance on the ramp. The condition says 2.4, and we're asking for 2.3. And the reason why you'd have comfort in that is because the small rigid vehicle that is servicing this site, the diagram of that actual vehicle is relevantly provided on page 548 of the business paper, and you will see on page 548 a picture of the small rigid vehicle. The height of that vehicle is 2080. So there is definitely clearance based on that vehicle, and we say that you could approve it with the condition of 2.3 as opposed to 2.4 because the standard is 2.2. I can have that checked if you like. But the vehicle that that's servicing this development for private on-site collection is 2080. And I think that's all I had to say unless you had any questions. Thank you.
There will certainly be some questions. Anyone like to lead off or would you like me to start?
I have a question.
Sylvia, no questions, did you say, or you have questions?
I do have a question. Andrew, can you help me understand? I got a little bit lost when you were talking about condition 21.
Yes.
From Habitation Design, dated the 13th of March, says yes. That the proposal is to change it to OC, yes, rather than you said the request is prior to OC rather than prior to CC. But when you talk to that proposed change, you refer to prior to commencement of works is what you were seeking to substitute prior to CC.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, that's okay. Correct. Yeah.
So then if the condition's only to be satisfied prior to commencement of works, what kind of works are you anticipating you could do prior to satisfying that condition? What would you do on site?
Hopefully we could do demolition works. We're hopeful that we could do site establishment works and then conduct the piering for the basement. And that would allow us to continue, but still have on foot that application under 138 as per the condition.
So demolition and piering works don't rely on a CC to have been issued?
That's fine, yeah.
No, it's a question.
Oh, that yeah, well, I think there's two schools of thought whether demo is construction, a construction certificate is for construction, demolition's not construction. But at the end of the day, we certainly like to do the piering, because that would allow us to, you know, get ahead of the game and not be months and months delayed.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
Panel, have any other questions? I've got a couple, if I may. Firstly, Andrew, can I take you to your drawing that you're kind enough to take us to on page 548 of the report?
Yes.
Now, this is a small rigid vehicle, you describe it as, that would do what sort of functions within the building?
Oh, that's collecting the all the bins.
It collects the rubbish?
Yes, it does.
How does the rear end of it work?
Oh, I'm not an expert on that, but I think it's just a wheel the bin up and it's got an automated lift. It's not like a 600 litre bin where it's lifting over the top of it.
How does it load the rubbish or whatever into the back?
Yeah, I don't know exactly, so I'd rather not say than misguide you.
It looks like it's a rear loader.
Yeah, it is. It's got the mechanisms all at the back. I definitely know it's a rear loader.
Whether it's a rear, most rear loaders that I'm a traffic engineer by training, and all the ones I've seen are over the top. And if it's an over the top loader, there's space, it's probably going to need a meter and a half over the top of that vehicle.
I don't have the full spec, but I thought.
But isn't that pretty critical to whether or not it's going to work in the basement area?
Oh, it certainly is.
How would you get furniture and stuff into the various units?
I'd be ferried in via a ferry truck, which would be a ute or so forth.
So they'd all have to be on a flatbed type trailer, would they?
Yes.
And fridges and stuff.
Yes, to the extent, you know, that you'd have could come in on a trailer, because trailers sit lower, or things of that nature.
Okay. The last comment, a question. The condition of left turn in, left turn out is a RMS condition, isn't it? It's rather than a council one.
I'm not sure the source of that condition, but.
But you'd probably agree if it's an RMS one.
It's on Milton.
Depends on whether it's a main-ish road or secondary road or whatever it is.
Oh, it is a fairly prominent road. I think it's. Yeah. Again, I don't want to talk out of school, but it probably classified or something like that. So it comes under the traffic transport for New South Wales.
Yeah.
And we're given a prelude to that in some of the conditions, because it does refer to transport for New South Wales when it talks about some of those works.
Okay. All right. Any other panellists have any questions of Andrew? All right. Thank you, Andrew. We'll deliberate over the matter at the end of our submissions and make a determination later this afternoon.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
I've got one other person, Joseph Panetta. Are you there, Joseph? No? Joseph, last chance. It's another one we've lost in transit. All right. That really concludes our public meeting, or at least the public side of our public meeting. And I'm looking at our time as being 3 minutes past three. So I'm going to suggest that we conclude this part of our meeting and that we cease recording and thank all of those that presented for their attendance, for their respect that they paid to everyone else, and for being as succinct as you were. So thank you. We'll consider all your comments directly. Thank you.